Start your day with Terry. I'm actually good. Come on, listen. Tavshin Pei Daled, Rabbi Yossi Cohen.
Testing.
A Yugam Bar once came into the stipler before Pesach and he asked him, since there are so many mitzvahs, Leil Pesach, Matzah, Moroi, Avikoimon, Koirech, Tzipiotis, Mitzrayim, what do I have to concentrate on? And I want to do something really in the best way possible. What mitzvah should I choose out of the very many mitzvahs? We all understand there are many mitzvahs, it's not easy to focus on all of them equally. Which one is going to be the mitzvah that I should be careful of to do that in the maximum best way possible? So the stipler, Zecharin Levrocha, took out a Rambam, and Hilchos Chometz Matzah, and he opened it up. To Perek Zayin Alach Chavov. And he showed, he read in these words, the Rambam writes, B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayv Adam, L'Haris Es Atzmoy, Ke'ilu Hu Be'atzmoy Yotza Atam Mishibin Mitzrayim. Words we're familiar with. Shenemar, us, we were taken out from there. And the Rambam adds, this particular thing is written in the Torah because it says, "V'zochar to," and you should remember, "Ki eved o yiso." Kaloimas is the Rambam. Ato ki ilu ato pa'atzumacha. You yourself, o yiso eved, v'yotzosu l'cheiros v'niftes. You yourself were a servant. And you were an Eved, and you went through the Shivut, and you were redeemed. Said the stipler, many things in the Leila Seder we pay money for. Yeah? We buy matzahs, make sure the best quality matzahs, whatever it is. Wine, we get just the right wine, the silverware, everything has to be just right, and we pay money for it. You can be mahadah with money, but this mitzvah, you can't, for the love of money, as you say, you can't do whatever much you pay for it, it's not going to help. You can't buy it. It's got to be worked upon. It's something which a person himself has to prepare himself for. He has to invest time and effort and koyach and moyach to be able to prepare himself, to make himself a person who's taka field. It's not some talking about history. It's something which you have to actually feel and be part of. Otherwise, it's not going to work. That's what we have to prepare ourselves for when it comes to the Leil HaGodah. We have to be able to prepare ourselves that we ourselves can feel that we are people who actually experienced it. V'zochar to ki eved o yiso b'aretz Mitzrayim. Chayav adam liris as mekilu yotim Mitzrayim. Where the Chazal learn this from? We say it in HaGodah. You learn it from the Apostle. Yigadot alevincha b'yom ho'leimor ba'avur zeh osa Hashem li b'teisim Mitzrayim. So the Chofetz Chaim points out a very interesting thing. These two things seem to be connected. Where did Chazal tell us the Chayav Adam Liris Atzmo Mekilu Yotzei Mitzrayim? Where did it tell us in this pasuk? B'sha'as v'gadot ala bincha b'yom ahu leimor. When it comes to telling over your child, this is where it makes the crucial difference. If you want to make sure that you have the proper effect on your child, then you've got to make sure that you are properly prepared in this way, not stump prepared. You are pulsating with Amunah, you are vibrant with Amunah. And the Chofetz Chaim gave a moshel. He said that once he came in to the mikveh in Radin Dorten, and he said to the mikveh yid, he said, "Is the mikveh hot?" "Yeah, mamish, I just poured in hot water." So he put in his toe, the Chofetz Chaim, and it was freezing cold. So he said to the mikveh, "Well, what are you telling me stories? The mikveh is cold." He said, "It can't be. I just poured it in half." In those days, there were no central heating. There were these huge, big urns of boiling water, which they boiled up there on the spot, and they poured in. "I just poured in half of the urn." the Tzachayim walked over to the urn, he put his finger into the urn, and the urn was warm. So he said, if the urn is warm, and you put it into ice cold mikveh, you're not going to get anywhere. If the urn is hot, boiling hot, and it goes into the urn, then the mikveh will be warm. So he said, but how the chazoy? When it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, so a keli rishon, even when it's taken off the eish, is mavashen. Cooks, boiling hot, even off the eish. Once you put it into a keli sheni, Keli Sheni can't be Mavashi anymore. Kale Abishal, can't make proper Bishal. Keli Shlishi, Veretnach, no chance. Can't be Mavashi. It might still be hot, but it can't be Mavashi. So he said, if the father is Eish, is a fire, he's burning the Munna, he's vibrant, he's bursting the Munna, then he can hope that when he passes on to the next generation, ever than a Keli Rishon, and the next generation will be at least a Keli Sheni, and there's some hope. Oh, maybe the Tata Lane is only warm, lukewarm. So he comes to the Seder and he reads out that Gada, Umvas, and he's going to, what does he expect? What on earth does he expect that the church to come away on the basis of Amunah if he himself is only warm at the best?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's irreclearition. Yeah. So less, the lower less. It's only Mavasha Kle Klipper. Skin deep. It gets, and the Emuna will get skin deep. You need to get a bit further than that. And it's irreclearition. What happens if it's the time he gets it, but the child himself is not a Keli Sheni? When it lands in the Keli Sheni, it's not like irreclearition, yeah? It's only the Iru which has got it in. It's got a Keli Sheni. So without a person has to prepare himself, you have to know Pshat in Agoda. There was a Yid sitting by Agoda, and he came to the Hisha Amda. So his father's son said, I got a question. Vihisha Amda, and translate the words, and she stood. Who? Who is this she? Who are we talking about? Which great tzaddikus are we talking about here? Vihisha Amda Rabbasein Nebelanu. So the father scratched his head, and he looked inside the Agoda, and he said, what do you mean? Don't you know? Can't you read? It says, Yagbiyas, a kois. Pick up the kois. Vihisha Amda means the kois. The kois. The kois is Amda Rabbasein Nebelanu. It's the kois. Obviously, yeah. As I said, my noise, if you know a person doesn't know what he's talking about, he's not gonna. Avada, we're talking about the Avtocha that Kadosh Baruch Hu made, which said before, that's what we're talking about. He Sha'amda, the whole history, the whole Avtocha of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael, that's what we're talking about. But without learning Pshat, it's no good. Without listening Pshat, you know, people say a lot of Pshetlach in their Gada. Pshetlach and things like that. The Rabbi Pavarsky, Zuchayn Lebrachov, once said, that if you take a stick, there in Yiddish, a shtekel, and you break it into a lot of pieces, what have you got? Shtekelach. You've got shtekelach, yeah? Little piece of wood. So he said the same thing. If you take pshat and you break it up, you've got pshetlach. Oh, but you've lost the pshat. You lost the pshat. That was not pshat. Suppose you have to prepare and learn that God in a way that you understand pshat. And it's full of the meaning and understanding. That way, the person is full of the emunah and he passes it on. And that's the way it has to be. The only way it can work is like that. Because the emunah is the yesod of it all. We want our children to be careful how they do mitzvahs. Do mitzvahs comes from Yerushalayim. If you've got Yerushalayim, you do mitzvahs. Where do you get Yerushalayim from? Only from Emunah. I heard a Chosha Rav told me that Balabos, a fine Balabos said to him, I don't eat kidneys I don't eat gebrocks. We don't eat gebrocks. But my children want to have schnitzel. They want to have schnitzel on Pesach. So he said, well, you know, I can't help you, so you've got to take some type of potato flour. No, they won't eat it. They insist on having schnitzel. Well, what can I do? He said, if not, these are the words of the father, if not, they'll go to McDonald's. Bring the shalom. You know, where are we going here? So the Rav said, okay, they can have schnitzel. Say that, they can have schnitzel, you know. Yeah, as a Hauptmann. Because, where are you supposed to get? There's a hero's mitzvah, a hero's minig. Shall parents have moistened nefesh for? Vestige Gebrocks, yeah? I personally do. I'm saying those who don't. Vestige Gebrocks, where it came from? It came from the Yerushalayim. Where did Yerushalayim come from? Emunah. If there's no, he's so just take care of Emunah in the Bayer Olam, that everything comes from him and he gave us a Torah, etc. Then where do you start? It has to start from Emunah. It's Gebot on the Emunah, without that. The Gemara says the Makkas. Boch Habakkuk ve'emidon al achas. Bach came, and then the whole Torah is 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara says, in the various doras before that, they whittled it down. What are the ikar mitzvahs, ikar mitzvahs, ikar mitzvahs? Boch Habakkuk, it's all about emunah v'tzadik, ve'emunosoi yichya. This Habakkuk means to minimize the mitzvahs, chas v'sholom. It means to say, be a good Jew at heart, you know, believe in God, and you're okay. Is that what it meant, chas v'sholom? It meant to say that the whole 613 mitzvahs, the whole towering edifice of a huge block. Imagine a massive block of flats, 613 floors high. It all depends on the strength of the yesodas. If the yesodas are strong, then it'll stand strong. Tzadik be'emunosu yichya. It's got to be. And the tzadik is a double dose of emunah. Because emunah is gematria 104. 102. And tzadik is 204. Tzadik be'emunosu emunah. Be'emunosu tzadik be'emunosu yichya. He takes his life, he takes his the guts of chius from a tzadik is from that. Someone once asked the Mashkiach, Chayin Abrocha, the heading of Mashkiach, B'chask Levenstein, the whole day long he talks about Emunah. Yeah, but you know, all his story, Emunah, he takes some time, Emunah. He said, okay, you know, Emunah, basics. Why did you talk about Hoichazachen? Talk about Hoichazachen, you know, Hoich Madregas, Mishmaim, you know, like all these words, Svarim Kadoshim, well, why are you talking about all this? We know that, we know all about, heard it already. So he said, he answered this fellow, he said, the person who was asked this question, he said, "The Tilten being Sosson's house, telling about Sosson's house." That's what he said. Sosson's house. What's Sosson's house? So he said, "You know, they were in Shanghai during the war. A wealthy Yid came before the war. Yid called Chacham Sasson, he was called, and he built a beautiful palace in Shanghai. There, bought a piece of ground, and he built a very nice palace. He was a very wealthy Yid. But after a few years, he began to notice that it began to sink." There were sinking problems, you know, the window was here, and the next day the window was here, and then it was here. So what's going on? So he called in the experts, and they checked everything. No, there's nothing wrong, Bechal, the surveyors and the architects, everything was fine, passed, you know, it's fine, perfect, yeah, fine. Oh, but I can't look out the window anymore, you're telling me it's fine. It went from bad to worse. So one of the architects took out the papers from the government offices. What's the story behind this house? And he discovered the following. Originally, this had been, the land that was built, was a rubbish heap. What do they call it in English? A tip. Yeah, a tip. That's a very high class word, a tip. Yeah. And then, at some point, they decided to move, it was overflowing, to move to another area. And it remained a tip. Along came some picker, and he said, he wants to buy the land. Very cheap. Obviously, they were happy to see it fill the land cheap. And he came and he piled on top of it lots of sand and cement and earth. And he covered over the whole thing and made a very nice looking park. And fine, he's got a nice piece of land which he's selling for sale. He's giving this land for sale. And he had it authorized as it's fit for sale for land for building on. So the Chacham son came along and he bought this nice piece of land and he bought this piece of land. And he bought the land. And what happened? When you got all the rubbish underneath, the rubbish begins to settle. And the sand on top of that settles on top of that. And the earth and the cement all settles. And the building begin to sink. So he said, the Teltan Vid Kasadan, it's all very nice to build Hoichazachen and talk about very high-flown things and all sorts of very Choshev Madregas. But if it's not standing on Festi Yisoides, what it's standing on is crumbling earth, then what's the use? So if it's felt the Emunah, if you haven't got the strength of the basis of Emunah, then nothing stands. And all the, as I said, all the Yiras Shemaim and the Dikta Kamitzis which follows from that, we can't expect our children to have that real passion for Yiddishkeit if they don't have the Emunah. And the Emunah is the Ikka. Therefore, it's Kebuyitin. That is the Tachlis, and that is the Yisoy, and that is the Skula of Leil Pesach. And that's what the Falkman was saying. You've got to put all your Koichas and strength into that. If you do that, then you'll succeed in something. And the more real it is, the more vibrant it is, the more we experience and feel it, the better. As we say in Chazal, Chazal say, "Gedoylo hasoras tabas, yoisim b'memchas neviim b'ches neviyos." When Achashverosh removed his ring and gave it to Haman, that had a more powerful effect on Eden than 48 neviim and 7 neviyos who had been dashing for generations. You have to treat mitzvahs, you mustn't do averus. Yeah, the neviim, they know the neviim, they know the speaking of Hashem Hashem. Yeah, we heard, in one ear, out the other, had no effect. All had one little act of exera, which suddenly took them, and they felt it, that had the effect, more than anything. That brought them to tshuva. Because when something is experienced, you actually feel it, then the emunah becomes real, becomes b'chush, you feel it. And that's what Chazal wants us to have, the emunah b'chush. Less than that, it's just facts, and figures, and information, and data, which we know, and we know, but it's only when I actually feel it, then it has effect. And that's what we have to bring out in the Leil Yetzirah Mitzrayim. You've got to be able to actually give over the feeling of emunah. And I think that in order to do that, you've got to be able to tell real, true stories. Things which the children can hear and understand and feel and know, and that has an effect. Because it has a good effect on us and that. You hear a good story, that suddenly you feel, that strengthens your emunah. I mean, talk about what you're having in Eretz Yisrael, yeah? Someone pointed out. So, what happened now with all these missiles? It's not mamish nisim, yeah? Mamish nisim, nisim gluim. Not only that Klal Yisrael was saved from these, Eretz Yisrael was saved, but it was even the not such great friends of ours who went up there and helped us bring them down. Yeah, whether it's Jordan or Saudi Arabia, also had took her. What are you going to think? Yeah, you know, IDF, amazing. Aha, amazing. Yeah, like somebody pointed out. And what happened to Simchus Torah? The Simchus Torah? In a small ragtag group of call them what you want, came and just overpowered this wonderful, mighty army with all this intelligence and all this huge fence and everything. Garnish. And did such terrible things. Where were they then? Look at the shinui, the contrast between these two times, these two dates. It's the chmoiridik to see. It's only Yad Hashem. Only Yad Hashem can do it. And that's something which the children can hear and identify and feel with. And I think that's so important, more than anything. Rabbi Michael Feinstein, Zechayin Lebracha, used to tell over from a Shver, a story from a Shver, the Briskarov. Every year when he came to the Agoda, and he said, and he used to graphically describe the following story. I don't think I've said it here before. It's Mori Dekemaisa, which brings out how in our generations, when we're talking about ever it is 100 years ago, 200 years ago, much more recent, we can almost feel it. Kiyodua, the town Nikolai HaRosha, he was a terrible Rosha. He was Gesed looking away to Gzeret against Klal. He was one of the Cantonists to force them to come to the army. He stayed for 9 years and they lost their Yiddishkeit. Kehena v'kehena. One day he decided, finished, said enough of the Jews. He's going to finish them all off. How's he going to do that? There's millions of Yidden. So he gathered together his cabinet, and he told them, I'm giving you now 3 days and three nights, and I want you to prepare a plan, which is going to be foolproof. No one's getting out of this. We're going to get all the Jews in the net, and we're going to finish them off. But it's going to be a very, very worked out plan. I want you all to work on it. You're staying here. I'll supply the food for 3 days and three nights. I'm going to come, Chatzos, Leil of the third night, and I'm going to look at them. I'm going to stamp into law. That's going to be law, and then we're going to carry it out. That's what he said. So they took it all very seriously, and they sat there for 3 days and three nights, and they brought out this document with every single detail taken care of, that wouldn't be shaykh in any way to get out of it. And it was a very, very thoroughly done and worked out plan how once and for all they're going to finish off the Yid. They finished at 11 o'clock, and Al-Fakhato is very happy with themselves, patting themselves on the back. And they prepared all the documents now to present to the town Nikolai Machshavei. They're going to give it to him and he's going to sign into law. 11:30, they hear the sounds of the bugle being called, and there's something happening down there. Obviously, there's a royalty arriving, and the door opens and in walks town Nikolai himself. He walks into the hall. He walks straight up to his throne, which was there, was in the courtroom. He had his own special throne there. He sits down on the throne and said, give me the papers. Where are the papers? Takes the papers, they presented the papers that we worked so hard on, and looks at them, reads them. Shtusim. Rubbish. What's all this? What's this rubbish? And he turned round and he threw it straight into the fire. There was a fire there burning, threw it straight into the fire. Absolute rubbish. Never seen anything like such rubbish. Turned round and walked out. They were absolutely astonished. You couldn't believe it. They worked 3 days and three nights on this, and he comes in, he doesn't like it, throws it straight into the fire. They just didn't know what to say, what to put themselves. And they're busy discussing what to do. And suddenly, once again, they hear, it's already the stroke of midnight, and they hear again the sounds, the royal sounds being played, the music being played, and the whole guard of honor preparing themselves. And once again, in walks Tsar Nikolai, and here he is again. And walks and sits down on the throne and says, where are the papers? So they look at him. They're just speechless. Where are the papers? So the one of them, his aide turned to him and said to him, one of them there, said, well, you were here just half an hour ago, and you came and you looked at them and you said they're rubbish and threw them away. So he said, what rubbish are you talking about? And he turns around to his personal assistant and says, where was I half an hour ago? Half an hour ago I was lounging on my bed in my palace. So the Minister of Defense, who was one of the strongest but closest ministers, turned around and says to him, your master, your majesty, I'm prepared to have myself my head chopped off. I can swear that you were here half an hour ago and you did that and you threw that into the fire. He said, what's this sort of plan against me? You're all gathered together to overthrow me or something? What are you talking about? I was in my palace. Let's call the soldiers from downstairs. So they called the guard of honor downstairs. He said, yes. He said, the Tsar was here half an hour ago. You're all planning something against me. And they called a few other, the plain soldiers. Some of them, they all said the same thing. So he stood up and he said, if the God of Israel does not want me to kill the Jews, there's nothing I can do about it. I failed, and nothing will ever enable me to do this. And turned around and walked out. How did we hear this story? Because this Minister of Defense, he had business dealings with other Yidden. And once he called one of the Yidden, and he said to him, have you ever seen your God? He said, no. No, it's my God. But I said, I've seen your God. He said, I've seen. I was there. And he told him in absolute detail, and that's how the story came down, in absolute detail. I've seen him. I saw that he was there, and he looked exactly like the Tsar. And he was impersonating the Tsar. And I've seen your God. Biskrov knew this maestro. Can you imagine how he said it over? But the guy, Ayid, who hears and knows of that story, has such a powerful effect. And he's telling over that story to the children. And hold them I think Azar Maisa has got such a koyach to take implant emesa emuna. Children know Hakadosh Baruch Hu is there for us all times, whether it's current events or things that's happened like that in the past. Only that which gives us the emesa emuna, which tells us. Only maestros like that. So another gavaldik maestro which gave me a chizuk. There was a rov. You might have seen this maestro. I saw it recently. A rov in America who had a lot to do with the hospitals. It's a harum gedreit in the hospitals. And the doctors knew him. Nebuch, he had to help Eden. And one day he's sitting in his office and a woman comes in the hospital and says, the doctors told me to come to you. Why? Because my child was born and cannot pass water. Cannot urinate. Can't ashiyotza. And the doctor said they can't help him. A baby. And obviously it's a very, very critical, life-threatening situation. The doctor said nothing you can do for him. So I said to the doctor, what should I do? So the doctor said, well, you can try the rabbi. We can't help you. So I came to you, rabbi. Can you help me? So the rov said, I said to her, to this goita, I said to her, you want help? Pray to God. But not to any old God. Pray to the God of the Eden, to the God of the Jews, who created the world and maintains the world and controls the world and directs the world and every single thing that happens in the world, including a little baby being able to pass water, is all in his hands. Pray to him. And this lady threw herself down on the floor, pitching the dime for a glime, and cried her heart out, davening to Hashem Yisborach, that she should be zoicha, that they should merit a refuah for her child. And that night, the child has his first wet nappy. That's the koyach of emesa tefillah. A goiter, a posh goiter, have to understand that there's no other eats in the world. And I was thinking to myself during this morning davening. That's what happened. Saying davening, what does she hear? Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, min ha'olam, va'osei niflois levadoi, uvoruch shem kvoido le'olam. And the result is v'yomar lechvoido is kol haaretz. Amen v'amen. She understood there's nothing else. There is nothing else in the world. And she saw it. She was able to see it. Why? Because Emma's the tefillah. She had nothing else to hope for. Doctors gave up. What does she know? No doctors. And there's only one source of help. And she's being told that this is the only source. And who am I davening to? I'm davening to Hashem. She knew who was davening to. She wasn't davening to any old God. She was davening to Hashem. And that she was Zeicha. And she saw the Yeshua. No. Doesn't that Maisa tell us? That Maisa gives us that chizik and emuna. Avada, if Yidden were davening like that, Hakadosh Baruch Hu with the same passion of emuna, Avada would be zeicha as well. Avada be zeicha. Therefore, Vaita, as I say, it's all dafka, kol mitzvah secha, emuna. The more we can build them in the chazik emuna, the more schus we can have to give this over to our children. And one last ma'aseh again of Amuna, which I saw recently as well, which for me was a big chizuk, happened to a Yid, which we know was lived not long ago. It was a Yid in Rishlaim, you must have heard of him, Rav Moshe Halberstam, Zecheinu Livracha. He was one of the poskim of the Badatz. Tzadik could be gone. Baruch Hashem, we had to do it, Abad L'chaim Tovim, we had to do it, and it was a chizuk, every time you speak to him. Kabbalah, the Edli Yid. Two Yidin came to him with a Din Torah, Chosh Mishpat Din Torah. And they asked him to paskin. So he said, he heard the Shaila, right, I'm going to write a tshuva. Come back in a week's time, and I'll give you the tshuva. They came back a week's time, and were informed that, that morning he'd been nifta. You know, he was nifta very suddenly. He wasn't very old, in the 70s. Nifta. So obviously they didn't, they waited after the shiva. After the shiva, they came and they asked the son. Their father told us, that he's going to write a tshuva. Can we have the tshuva? So they looked all over for it, they couldn't find it. Oh, the Tatar Gazal is going to write a tshuva. He must have written it, he would have kept his word. So by the Shloishim, when they went to the Keva, so after they said the Tehillim, the son stepped forward, and he said to the father, that you promised a tshuva to these Yidden. Where's the tshuva? Can we please have it? We need to give it to them. And he made this request. That night he had a dream. And his father, Rav Moshe Halberstam, came to him in a dream. And he said to him, yes, you'll find the tshuva on my shtender, in my siddur, by Oz Yoshir. You'll find the tshuva there. And the son saw, he had the chance to speak to his father. So he said, tell me, Tata, speaking to his father, what's it like up there? What's the Din Shemana, what's it like in Gan Eden? So he said, I haven't got permission to tell you what's going on up here, but three things I can tell you. Three things. First thing, he said, something we should know from the Gemara, there, Elyonim Lamato Tachtoinim Lamala. People who we think in this world are up high, there, they're much lower. And people who we look down upon here, Tachtoinim, they're Lamala, they're higher Madrigan. Which just verifies what it says in the Gemara. You can never judge another person. You don't know what the person's going through, what his situation is, what his opportunities are, what his potential is. You never know what people are. That's one thing we just told him. The second thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of anor and nachas when families and friends gather together on Leil Shabbos and sing Miras together. That's what you told him. Make a matzah for Shabbos, for Nashiras Shabbos, Miras Shabbos. That is something which is very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thirdly, most importantly, he said, the Ikka, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Klal Yisrael, his children, to be friendly and good and do chesed to one another. He was a Gevaldik Baal Chesed in many areas, medical and otherwise. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. People should be good to one another, care for one another, look after each other. That's the Ikka that he said. Yeah. And this is a message from Shemayim, from a Yid or Nifta not so long ago. What was it? 20-something years ago, not more. And a clear message when you hear, Azal Maisa gives us a chizik and a munah. We know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. We know what we have to do. We know what to pass on to our children, Mitzvah Shem. And this type of a munah, and you say this with a munah, and as I say, it comes through stories and nimudim that gives a chizik to ourselves. And the stronger we are, the more vibrant our munah is, the more pulsating it is, the more chizik and have our munah, we'll pass the honor, Mitzvah Shem. We'll be zoicha in that way, that we'll all be zoicha. Bekoroiv, Nahel, Nitei, Chano, Paduim, Nitzinu, Berino.